Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. This is Sunday Strategy Session, and this is, simply put, observations from Mike Clay's projections that he put out. I'll throw a link in the show notes. 88 of them. I didn't have a number in mind. I just started writing them down as I read through. I think it's a 68-page document or something like that. It was like, we're going to do just every observation. I'm just going to sort of put it down. Most of them are situational, right? Changing situations. I'm not going to do a huge comment on each one. Otherwise, it'll be a three-hour-long show. But just some things that I thought were important that I think, that we can sort of lock in here, think about, and use them as potential tools going forward, right? This will be some stuff that'll probably, there'll be some breakout content from this type of stuff for sure. I always like, and the reason I think this way is I like to sort of get ahead of some of the redraft stuff in terms of what we're thinking, and this is a good arbability stuff, right? Like when you see some of these differences, or you might see a player like sort of valued in dynasty a lot lower than he is in redraft. Well, if you're outside the top 10 or so, 10, 15, maybe 20, something like that. I mean, it depends the position. I want to make a hard rule here. But if there's a big difference there, especially at running back, that difference shouldn't really exist. So that's something I think that's really arbable. So those are just some thoughts that I have just generally speaking. So here we go. Number one, James Conner, running back 12 projection, 17.9 points per game. That is 17.2 points per game last year. So that's actually an improvement on what he did last year. If he finishes that, he will finish better than running back 12. Almost assuredly, he will finish better than running back 12. Rondale Moore, 104 targets projected. That would have been good for 28th. In 2021, his wide receiver 34 projection at 12.4 points per game, right there in the wide receiver 3 range. Number 3, Zach Ertz, tight end 7, 104 targets. That would have been a top 6 finish at the target number for tight ends last year. So, and his point total would have been tight end 6 for last year as well in points per game. All right, Cordarrelle Patterson, 63 targets. That's bigger than the 37 targets for Mike Davis. When you look last year, they actually had, from week 10 on, right, that was kind of when some of the Patterson stuff started to backslide, 43 targets for Patterson, 36 for Davis. So Mike seeing a much bigger portion of the pie for Patterson compared to where it sort of ended last year. It seemed, I would say, more of a middle type projection on where the season was. Running back 34 projection for Cordarrelle Patterson on the season. I would say that's a conservative estimate. And one thing I will say about Mike generally, and I was what I appreciate about his rankings and why they are one of the top, 5 or 6 days of the year in terms of like, hey, here's stuff that we're going to get, outside of the draft. Here's information that we're going to get. Like, this is a really useful, like this Sandow stuff on quarterbacks, like a really, really useful thing. One of the things I think is his conservatism on projecting situations is something I really respect. So I think that Patterson number can actually rise. And that would be something that I think that running back 24, there's a lot more ceiling there. I think there's a tail event, the fat tail event that I think could absolutely come back there for him this year. All right, Dobbins is running back 18, 11 total touchdowns, only 37 receptions. There is a 925 to 603 split in favor of Dobbins and Gus Edwards in rushing yards. Tight end 1, Mark Andrews. That's number 6. Number 7, Stephon Diggs, wide receiver 5 on 146 targets. Number 8, Gabe Davis, wide receiver 32 on 105 targets. Number 9, Christian McCaffrey, running back 2, over 1,600 total yards, 91 catches, only 8 total touchdowns. So running back 2 on those numbers. DJ Moore, wide receiver 9 on 146 targets. We'll revisit that a little bit later. Justin Fields, quarterback, 19 passing touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns. So I think at his cost, probably a disappointment. David Montgomery, running back, 14, 10 total touchdowns, 45 catches, 16.1 points per game. Would have been good for running back 11 in points per game last year. Cole Kmet, right there in the teens, in his projection, a lot of guys are projected at the tight end position with 50 some odd catches, 500 and some odd yards, and 4 or 5 touchdowns. Cole Komet's one of them. Joe Burrow, quarterback, 11, 5.6 touchdown rate. So coming back down a little bit to earth there on that. Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver, 3 on 135 targets. That's good for 9th at the position. 87 catches, 1,308 yards, and 10 touchdowns. T. Higgins, also a top 10 producer, I think is a notable projection there. 130 targets, 83 catches, 11, 36, and 9 touchdowns. Cleveland, only projected 1 starter. That's Nick Chubb at running back 22. Up to number 18, Deshaun Watson, projected 11 games. Number 19, Amari Cooper, 119 targets, 79 receptions, 925 yards, 7 touchdowns, wide receiver 29 projection. David Njoku, again, some of these numbers are going to sound familiar. 67 targets, 44 receptions, 549 yards, 5 touchdowns, tight end 21. Dak Prescott, quarterback, 7. 54 carries. It's actually up from 48, so not a huge gain, but you see him project 4 rushing touchdowns, so that's a little bit of a razor. And one of the top 5 passers in terms of total volume. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver, 6 on 135 targets. Dalton Schultz, tight end, 6. So running back where he was last year. Notable, and again, in an offense that there's a lot of loss there. I think that's a really interesting one. Russ, quarterback, 9, 547 attempts. We'll revisit him later. The passing game breakdown, number 25 in Denver. 117 targets for Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver 30 outcome. 112 targets for Cortland Sutton, wide receiver 31 outcome. Again, we talk about conservatism and not really knowing. I think it's notable that he picks those two over Tim Patrick. I don't think that is a foregone conclusion by any means, but I think that's a notable difference in putting the two of those guys ahead relatively close together. I remember one time Mike did the Bills, and I think it was the year that there's a bunch of change, and I think there was 4 guys. It was John Brown, Cole Beasley, Robert Foster, and maybe there was somebody else. I don't remember who it was offhand. Maybe Zay Jones. Zay Jones was still around, something like that. But he projected them all for like the exact same number. And then as you sort of, and I tracked it a couple times throughout the offseason, as you sort of got more information, it really whittled down to being, you know, he ended up being right. It ended up being John Brown and Cole Beasley with, I think he over projected Foster, but Foster fell off the world. So it wasn't a total, you know, I don't think it was necessarily that bad of a call. He fell off for everybody. But I think that this is a notable one that we'll track there for that, for sure. Another 50 for 505, Albert O, tight end 19, 50 catches, 511 yards and 5 touchdowns. DeAndre Swift, coming in at 27 here, running back 8, 89 targets, 10 total touchdowns. Firmly in the running back 1 landscape, up there in terms of targets as well. Amon-Ra St. Brown, where does he come in after this season that he had last year? Wide receiver 17. So I'm guessing that's going to be one of the higher projections that we see for him. That would just be my initial thought. 127 targets. So an interesting projection there. I would fade that number probably, right? If that number is going to be projected, I would be open to cashing out that because I think his value should rise. But again, if he's available for a second round rookie pick, and this is the type of projection that he's going to get based on what he did as a rookie, there's a lot of upside in being on the Amon-Ra St. Brown side of a him versus a second trade, right? That's the type of thing that I think you look and you see projection like this, you say, all right, there's some ceiling to that. I really like that as a cost point. Again, I've sold him for a first, and I would do that again. But if you can buy for a second or buy him for a slide down in a rookie class that's not that good, I think that's an interesting one, especially if it's between receivers, right? If you can slide down from wide receiver one to wide receiver four in this class, the cost of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Again, I don't know if that's totally doable. I'm just sort of giving it a specific example. We got to sort of see how the board comes in a little bit more. But I don't know if that's, something like 104 to like 110 or something like that in a rookie draft, and you can sort of get back Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's that two-way go type of thing that we would do. Again, I don't know exactly if that market's going to present itself, but like that's a type of thing that I think has multiple outcomes if we can sort of try and execute something like that. And maybe it's not even necessarily Amon-Ra St. Brown, but I think that's a good, he would be an interesting one to make that type of investment with, especially if we believe that first round wide receivers are random, which is something that I pretty strongly believe. So TJ Hawkinson up to 29. TJ Hawkinson, 100 targets, tight end 9. So that's an interesting one there. Some viability out of that passing game, even though I think it's not super highly thought of. Here's an interesting one. Number 30, Aaron Rodgers. 35 touchdowns, quarterback 8, with his best wide receiver as wide receiver 48, and his best tight end as tight end 23. Alan Lazard's wide receiver 48, tight end 23, be Robert Tonyan. That feels very much like the Cam Newton year where he won the MVP of the year, and it was like his best finisher was like Ted Ginn at like wide receiver like 40 something. It was him and like Philly Brown, and it was wild. It feels like that type of construct there for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Jones, 185 carries to 177 for A.J. Dillon. Notable distinction between the two, 74 targets for Aaron Jones, 34 targets for A.J. Dillon. So basically a timeshare in the running game and 2-to-1 advantage for Jones over Dillon in the receiving game, more than 2-to-1. Brandon Cooks, set it and forget it. 134 targets, wide receiver 20. Matt Ryan, quarterback 26. Number 34 is Jonathan Taylor, running back 1, almost 1,900 yards and 14 touchdowns. Number 35, Trevor Lawrence, quarterback 16. 23 touchdowns, 6.8 yards per attempt. I think by almost any measure, that would be a disappointment given his cost and where his investment is through 2 years. If that's what you get after 2 years, right, that's exactly why you don't make the bet that was made last year. Right, you trade down that and you take other shots because that's a disaster for a first-round startup pick 2 years in. Travis Etienne, 184 carries. James Robinson, 111. Etienne, running back, 23. And that includes 63 targets. Evan Ingram, another one of the 50 and 500 club, 51 catches, 573 receiving yards. Again, right around that into the teens, into that 20 range, a big group of guys in there. That's why you need to really find tight ends that are going to stand out in some way in that range, or you just start taking the later of those guys, right? You don't sort of get caught in the middle of that trying to pick favorites unless you have a really compelling reason like Dallas Goedert to do so. All right, Patrick Mahomes, quarterback 2. Very much like Aaron Rodgers. And one thing I'll say about this, we'll get to the other stats in a second. What's the position that when the best one is hurt, the line doesn't move? Wide receiver. So that is notable. Quarterback 2, 35 touchdowns, 4,683 passing yards. Quarterback 2 projection for Mahomes, behind only Josh Allen. Number 39, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 155 carries, 57 targets. That would be 11th in targets at the running back position. Juju Smith-Schuster, 126 targets, wide receiver 24 projection, 83 receptions, 950, and 7 touchdowns. Travis Kelce, tight end 2, maintaining his perch there up at the top of the position, also 126 targets, 92 catches, 1,034 yards, and 7 touchdowns. So 14 touchdowns between Juju Smith-Schuster and Travis Kelce, which represent 40% of Patrick Mahomes' passing touchdowns projected by Mike Clay. All right, number 42, quarterback 3, Justin Herbert, 33 touchdowns. Number 43, Austin Eckler, running back 3, 1,600 total yards, 12 touchdowns, 19.9 points per game. I was ridiculed for saying that Austin Eckler had running back 1 in his range of outcomes. Again, this offseason, we said it last year, he barely missed being out on that. He's basically a little over a point behind Jonathan Taylor, and he missed a game for COVID purposes. So it wasn't even like he actually missed. He missed time, but he wasn't missed time in the injury prone label way, the injury prone, moniker, right? In the fallacy of the injury prone way. He missed it totally for unrelated purposes. This would put him basically right about there. Again, it's tough at that number to get all the way there. You kind of need a weak running back 1 finish for that to be. And we've talked about how Jonathan Taylor was a relatively weak running back 1 historically. Would kind of have to be what it would be at Eckler at this number. So he would probably need a couple of more touchdowns, right? He's going to have to basically push 1 a game, I think, to really get there. But fully up there in that range. And again, is he a pivot guy? Can you pivot off of one of the guys ahead of him and down and pick up additional assets? I think that's a really interesting way to think about him. All right, 44, Keenan Allen, 139 targets, 95 receptions, 1,043 yards, 7 touchdowns, wide receiver 12. Stafford, quarterback 12. It's interesting. I think the whole Rams projection is interesting, but quarterback 12 at Stafford. Again, we like his floor probably better than his ceiling is reachable. I don't know if he's got running back or quarterback, 2 or 3 necessarily in his range of outcomes, but between 5 and 12, it's much flatter there. And I think that's totally gettable for him, and you feel pretty safe about him. He's not going to fall off a floor or anything like that. Akers running back 16, 1,300 total yards, 10 touchdowns. Going up here to 47, Cooper Kupp, 156 targets. He's wide receiver 1. Allen Robinson, 114 targets. Wide receiver 41. And this is the one that I would say, I think of all of them, this exercise is difficult, and it has to make you sort of reevaluate a little bit. I think this one has a lot more ceiling to it than any. There's a lot of ways that he can be better than that, right? I think 114 targets, he can sort of be good on those and be a top 30 guy pretty easily. He can, there can be a Cooper Kupp injury, and all of a sudden Allen Robinson's not 114 targets, he's 130 targets. The offense just rejiggers itself where that just de-optimizes the tight end a little bit more, and it sort of funnels into Allen Robinson. I think this number probably has baked into it a little bit more of the residual of the receivers as well. Probably some Odell Beckham Jr. sort of lack of putting all the number on Allen Robinson as of yet. So that's a lot of that stuff there. Again, I think Allen Robinson is a better version of the Odell Beckham Jr. role last year too. And he's basically been that for a while. So I think that there's probably more ceiling to this number. And if this is going to be sort of where the projection's at, I kind of like Allen Robinson to beat it, especially at that target number. Okay, number 48, Devontae Adams, wide receiver 7 in projection at 138 targets. So again, that's pretty good with the combination of him changing teams, him changing quarterbacks, unknown at the offensive coordinator, head coach, play caller, and Josh McDaniel, the quarterback combination with Adams, right? We don't necessarily know how that's going to work, but we sort of like that number as a offensive projection because that gives you some wiggle room to be a little bit wrong on the efficiency side of that and still be pretty safe as a player. Jacobs, 10 touchdowns, 1,300 yards, mid running back 2 type projection, 46 targets to Drake's 40. Waller, tight end 4 on 109 targets. So again, that rebound I think is a big one for us in terms of firmly in the mid tight end 1. Either Kelce or Waller's got to be a target for us in startup drafts. Okay, only 2 starters for Miami. Tyreek Hill at wide receiver 8 on 135 targets. Jalen Waddle, wide receiver 13 on 135 targets. Again, we talked about Mike being very, I think, conservative in his some of the uncertainty and some of the unknown projections. This is a good representation of that. Gesicki, another guy, sort of same range, 56, 620, and 5 touchdowns and 88 targets, right there in that wide on that tight end 1-2 fringe. I think tight end 13 was his projection. Notable running back difference here. Raheem Mostert, 164 carries over Chase Edmonds at 129. However, Edmonds, 59 targets to only 18 for Mostert. How does that all flesh out? Well, Edmonds, running back 32, Mostert, running back 37. I thought that one's interesting because it takes some ceiling off of a guy like Edmonds, and it might be represent a pivot way more than I think. I think a lot of people think Mostert's just, oh, a system guy going to go there and sort of be a backup. I think that this probably calls in a little bit more question about that. And if you think, like, this is a very similar projection that we saw last year out of Arizona. I know Football Guys had this projection where I came in, I was like, oh yeah, we'll have Edmonds, you know, above Connor. And consistently across the board, it was like, no, Connor's going to lead them in rushing. And so this one very much strikes like that. So I think this one is you be a little bit careful with a guy like Edmonds, probably a pivot guy away from. All right, Tua, 25 touchdowns, 7.0 yards per attempt. Just that's the not going to cut it range of being a quarterback in the NFL. All right, that's 54, 55. Here is Kirk Cousins, quarterback 14. Just set it, forget it, and move on. Irv Smith, tight end 14. Again, very similar type of thread here on the tight ends. It's 5,505. 57 catches, 559 yards, and 5 touchdowns. He's a clear pivot up player. All these guys in this range, don't pick favorites unless you have a really damn good reason to pick a favorite. And I'm not talking about like, oh, I'm going to pick like 5 of the 20. No, you're picking 2. Right? That's the, you don't pick, you know, don't do the podcast that's evaluating the third round of rookie draft. It says, I like the value on every single one of these guys. Nope, you don't. You have to like 1 or maybe 2. You don't like all of them at the cost, right? And that's the key to this tight end position. And then just let them fall, right? Just take the last of them, right? There's no sense in taking Irv Smith at tight end, 11 when you can take Evan Ingram at tight end 22, right? There's just no sense of doing that unless you are super, super, super convinced that Irv Smith has some ceiling there that just he hasn't ever really shown. No starters for New England is the 57th observation. 58, Damian Harris, 190 carries, running back 33. Ramondre Stevenson, 146 carries, running back 39. Lots of James White in there as well, so for what that's worth. Very limited receiving profiles for either of those two guys. All right, we're on my last page of 3 pages of notes here. So coming down the home stretch, observation 59, Alvin Kamara, running back 4. 64 catches, 11 total touchdowns, 1,500 total yards. That's one that you can say, how do you pivot? Like there's a pivot opportunity to be made between running back 6 and running back 20, we'll call it. And how do you make that pivot? I think he's one that, if you sort of believe this number, I think he's one that you could make the pivot, him being a pivot towards. And we'll get to who you could pivot from in a second. Michael Thomas, 113 targets, wide receiver 35 finish. So a bit of a rebound there in terms of the target numbers. We'll see sort of what the overall breakdown of that offense ends up looking like. you know, this would beat his ADP. Does he have a lot more than this? Right. I think it would take a pretty seismic change in terms of how much they're willing to put on Jameis Winston's plate. But, you know, we'll see what the... I think this could be a conservative number too. We could look back in this and, you know, 3 or 4 months in this numbers, you know, instead of it being 113, it's 131. And all of a sudden, right, that's just all that is an extra target a game. But that can really move you pretty significantly up the wide receivers, right? There's a big difference. Like that target a game at that level is a pretty big difference in terms of the caliber of fantasy player. Just at least where the projection would come down. Okay, Daniel Jones, 7.0 yards per attempt, 20 touchdowns, quarterback 22. You wonder what that does for his longevity. But again, that's very similar to a Tua projection. And actually Trevor Lawrence projection as well. Saquon Barkley, 69 targets, running back 20. Again, you talk about pivots that you could go to Kamara, Barkley to Kamara. If you could go Barkley to Kamara plus, that would be interesting. I don't know what that gap is there, but would be something I would explore. I'd actually explore arbitraging it too. If you've got a bunch of shares of each of them, I do in some older leagues that I've been in for a while and drafted them in rookie drafts and sort of hung on. You know, trading between them makes a lot of sense. Kadarius Toney, 103 targets, wide receiver 45. That's the leader in the clubhouse for the Giants offense. Michael Carter, only starter in with the Jets, running back 21, notably 63 targets. Elijah Moore, number 65, is wide receiver 26 on 126 targets. So that's a pretty hefty chunk there. And a very, I think, an aggressive projection. We'll see how much of that, you know, they've been pretty transparent in their desire to have an additional wide receiver. So we'll see there about how that would affect a ceiling workload for Elijah Moore. Oh, 126 is a lot of targets. Not that he can't do it, but it's just it's a lot of targets. That's a big jump from year one to two. So we'll see if he totally gets that opportunity. And if a guy like, you know, Corey Davis or someone who's actually way down the projections for Mike, if he can't sort of eat into some of that and sort of cap a ceiling. Jalen Hurts, quarterback 6, 808 rushing yards. So quarterback 6 projection there. Number 67, Devonta Smith, wide receiver 37 on 108 targets. You just don't, like, this is why you don't take guys in that range who haven't really hit yet, right? Because the jump from 37 to 17 is a big one volume-wise, right? And even if you give him another target per game, he looks a lot like Elijah Moore. That's at wide receiver 26. That's just not a place that I want to live. That's just not, you know, you don't need to make a wide receiver 2 type investment in those guys at that cost when you can beat that price and beat the production at a lot lower price, right? And that's kind of the theme there for that. Goddard, 94 targets, 67 catches, 812 yards. 810 yards, 4 touchdowns. That would be tight end 6 last season. Najee Harris, running back 9. Is he a pivot guy? What's the Najee to Leonard Fournette plus? What's the plus on that? Is that 2023 first? Is it more than that? I might even shoot more than that. I don't know if you get more than that. I don't know if you get the first. But is it a big upgrade in another position? Right? Does that take you from a core or a star quarterback up to a Supermax guy? I'm willing to sort of endeavor into that, and I have him in a couple of spots. Problem is I have so much Fournette that there's probably some overlap between my Harris shares and my Fournette shares. But that's a situation I'm going to explore. And I'm going to sit down and probably do some trading here in the next, you know, probably couple weeks once I sort of get a lot of these prospect things done. And that's an avenue I'm totally going to explore. Number 70, 149 targets for Deonta Johnson. I love it. Love it. Wide receiver 15. Again, I think that's probably beatable too. Chase Claypool, 108 targets. Wide receiver 48. Someone asked on the Football Guys show, or it was a I think a quote from the shark pool, hey, you know, take a big swing at a high upside guy with a round two rookie pick. You know, what's that? How about that as a strategy? I was like, yeah, but just do it for someone other than Chase Claypool, right? That's the clear answer. And I have ceiling concerns about that, about Claypool. I always have. I thought he got away with it as a rookie. Totally high touchdown variance, just absolutely unsustainable. And he rushed in two of them. Like, I mean, come on, right? I mean, it's a lot to ask. And just not really sustainable. Pat Freiermuth, again, catch me if you sound this similar. A little bit higher on the receiving number, 65, 585, and four touchdowns. So, again, that kind of blends in. Where is it? Tight end 11. Rashad Penny, 168. And Chris Carson, 148 carries. Very close there, splitting basically about a carry per game difference. Running back 38 projection for Penny, running back 40 projection for Chris Carson. Projecting a huge jump for DK Metcalf in the volume battle against Lockett, basically a target per game advantage over Metcalf that has never really sustained. We'll see if this is sort of, we're getting Metcalf on the increase, Lockett on the decline, and see where the two shall meet. 143 targets for DK Metcalf, wide receiver 11 projection, 126 targets for Tyler Lockett, wide receiver 27 projection. Noah Fant, again, he's on the a little bit higher side of that 5,505, 63, 646, and three touchdowns. So the touchdowns are a little bit lower, but tight end 12 projection and 91 targets. So again, just that we rinse and repeat, very similar themes. There's a lot of sameness in that range. Trey Lance, projected starter, notable. Quarterback 13, 503 rushing yards and four rushing touchdowns. Number 76, Elijah Mitchell, running back 27, 1,200 total yards, seven touchdowns. The problem, 34 targets. Just not projecting the passing game volume there. Again, I think maybe a lesson learned is that situation might not be as good as we expect it to be. You know, if there wasn't Deebo Samuel on that team, could that situation, like, could that statement be wrong? Maybe. But as we sort of go back, even predating that, I think one of the process failures that I had in the Trey Sermon situation was, even though, like, I still thought that it was a good situation, I don't think that situation actually has the ceiling that we think it does. And it's very much like Kansas City a couple years ago, where everyone projected Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be this, you know, this monster because the situation was so good. The situation actually wasn't that good, I think, when you actually did some diving on it. And I think the same thing's true with San Francisco. So, again, I'm sorry about Trey Sermon. I hope that Deshaun Watson advice made up for it. Okay, moving on to less traumatizing things. 77, Deebo Samuel, wide receiver 4. Amazing. 95 targets, but 94 carries, 11 total touchdowns. So again, in that very much that slash type role, like it. Tom Brady, quarterback 5, 37 touchdowns on 642 attempts. You're looking, again, top 3 type projection in terms of overall volume. Lombardi Lenny, 80 targets, 11 total touchdowns, running back 7 as an outcome. So again, you think about potential pivot opportunities. Can you pivot from, from Najee Harris to Leonard Fournette plus, or to Connor plus? Like, what's, how big is that plus? I'm really fast. Is that a future first? Is it more than that? Can you do with a bigger upgrade? Like, those are the things that I'm really, really interested to sort of dive into a little bit more in the trading market, because once I see these things, we can start exploiting them. I have a little bit more confidence in sort of my Lenny love, if you will, once I see Mike Clay kind of affirm that for me. So even when you go out and look at it, for Fournette, it's a similar type of range that he found himself in last year too. 17.8 points per game. It's very similar to where he was last year. And, is there a situation for more ceiling, right? I think you could say, hey, without Ronald Jones, can he consolidate a little bit more? This is actually a little bit of a backslide from him from last year. He was at 18.3 points per game last year. This is actually a little bit less. So again, is the situation maybe not quite as good? Maybe, but could he consolidate the situation a little bit more than was done last year? I think that's possible too. So I think really interesting there. I think it's a very, I think it's a very median type projection for Fournette, which is good. Again, there's a reason why I really like Mike Clay, because I think he's very responsible in the way that he sort of puts these together. But I think as you sort of look at it, there's very much some of the indicators for him are ways that Fournette could get better in terms of some of the usage as well. And again, he's projecting basically declines almost across the board. Just checking here. He's actually projected 100 more rushing yards than Fournette had last year. And lesser receptions by about 5, and actually almost a couple hundred yards less. About 40 or so less yards than he had last year. So, again, it's a little bit of a mixed bag for the projection there on Fournette. So I do think there's a scenario where he could grow kind of across the board and not see this little bit of a downtick. And instead, does he have overall running back one in his range of outcomes? Probably. I cast a very wide net. It's a Josh Allen experience for me. And you have to cast an extremely wide net on that question. It should be a lot of players. And there's a lot of players that have a 1% in that. But there's a lot of players that should be in that. I mean, I think he certainly does, but it's probably not that big, would sort of be the thought. There's just a lot that they do, like in the red zone, where he's just not going to pile in, 19 total touchdowns, probably, which I think he would probably need to get there. So, so extended on Leonard Fournette. Then we go to another guy that we really like, Mike Evans. Only 119 targets. 74 catches, 1019, 9 touchdowns. That's good for wide receiver 23. When you actually go down and look, that 228 number in terms of actual total points, if you actually went back and looked at that, what it was actually last year. So again, one of the things that when you look at these numbers, the projection, if they actually get to the projection, they're typically better than the number. They're better if they get to the projected stat number. They're actually better than where they would project at the position, because you're projecting basically no injuries. And his number would be right about wide receiver 21. So and Mike Evans is wide receiver 23 in the projection. So you kind of get the point. Like if you actually achieve that number, you're going to finish higher at the position than you're actually preseason ranked. So. Again, and if it's a couple more touchdowns, right, if it's, another target per game, it's a pretty big difference there for Evans to go from 20 to 11, right? It's not that big of a gap to climb. And honestly, you can kind of lock in that role in that offense. You'll take that wide receiver 2 projection with wide receiver 1 type ceiling. Observation 81, 356 carries for Derrick Henry. 23.7 carries per game. Just an incredible number. Not that it's a wrong number, just an incredible amount of usage. And I hope that Derrick Henry's not in a decline. We've talked about that in other spaces. AJ Brown, potential chance? A chance for 130 targets? 130 targets is a projected number. Wide receiver 14. Is that possible to get into a top 6 finish from that number with him? Possibly. But, this is a big, that would be a big step for him. That's no joke of a number for him to get to, considering his highest number in his career is actually 101 targets. And that was actually the past 2 years at PFF credits him for that. So we're talking about a pretty seismic jump in terms of what he has done to what this projection is. Is it possible? 100%. How likely is it? I mean, I wouldn't bet on this jump. Let's put it that way. And again, if what that jump rewards you with is a wide receiver 14 finish, don't bet on it in the top 10, in the top 5, in the top 8, wherever you see AJ Brown going. If this is what it takes, a jump from 101 to 130 So basically a 30% jump in his targets to get to a mid wide receiver two projection, hard out at the cost of wherever he's going. You can't do that. You just can't. That's a bad, bad investment. Antonio Gibson. It was Antonio Gibson's season for about as long as Antonio Brown was a Buffalo Bill. And if you remember that night on Twitter, it was an all-timer. 43 targets, running back 15, totally neutered by the return of J.D. McKissick. His teammate here, 84, Logan Thomas, tight end 10, 86 targets. He actually cracks some of the higher end of some of the stuff we've been talking about. 56 receptions, 612 receiving yards, 6 touchdowns. So above the 5,505 threshold, just enough that he gets into the tight end 10. Again, that puts you in a threshold of basically being, you're very valuable in like a 2 PPR. Again, a lot of those guys are replaceable in and of themselves. In 2 PPR, what happens is that number gets becomes more valuable because kind of the drop-off's a little bit quicker after that. So these guys that are basically like 5,505 projections, it sort of drops a little bit quicker, and you see it sort of the edge at tight end really magnify itself sort of in that range. So, one of the things that I have to be careful how I say this 41 minutes into this podcast. And maybe I should save it for another time more specifically, but I'm viewing some of the drafts and I'm doing some research. It's really more of a later May project for me after the rookie drafts get all done. But one of the things that I'm seeing in some of the league research is that 2 PPR really actually in practicality functions like 2 tight end. That's how much you basically get in the flex. And so you really have to think a lot about kind of maximizing that advantage. And the fact that you are up above the replacement, you really want to be up above that replacement because there's a lot of guys in lineups and there's a lot of guys on teams. And as a result, to really go below that replacement, it's a lot harder. And then what ends up happening is you're starting more... there really is a gap that opens up at the position. So, you know, there is an advantage to a guy like Logan Thomas being able to sort of get into the higher end of that range. And that range isn't invaluable, but just keep in mind that it's a big range of a lot of sameness. But if you can like double or triple hit it at a low cost instead of going, you know, wide receiver 9, 10, 11, if you go, you know, 19, 20, and 21, and it's still a similar projection. I really like that as a play. Okay, Russell Wilson. I just went through and actually looked at some of the guys where they would just finish, right? So that's all the team stuff. So 84 on the teams. That's top to bottom of the teams. Then I just walked through and I looked at the, he has basically a summary stuff of like, hey, here's basically your top 10 finishers and all the different stats. So 4 observations from that to get us to 88. Russell Wilson, 8th in passing yards, 41-32. Running back 9 in rushing yards, Miles Sanders at 10-47. That'd be really interesting. He's one that I think is, he's very much, you know, like a super poor man's Gibson because doesn't probably have the receiving upside, but is primarily more of a runner. So if they perform closer than expectation, that wouldn't totally shock me. Gibson, a better hold on his job than Miles Sanders does. DJ Moore, 146 targets. Where does that rank him? Wide receiver 4. Incredible projection. So lots of wiggle room there and a lot that he could accomplish from that number, even with a crummy situation. So he's one that I really like to bet. I'd much rather bet on like a DJ Moore at his cost than like a CeeDee Lamb at his cost, because we've seen DJ Moore be high volume before. We haven't seen it with a guy like CeeDee Lamb. All right, last one, and maybe one of the biggest projections that I've seen from Mike in terms of guys that really opened my eyes in terms of where he projects in terms of the volume and all that stuff and what I don't think is that great of a situation. Number 88, 137 targets, which ranks 9th at the wide receiver position for Darnell Mooney. All right, well, that's going to do it for this podcast. Again, just as much as I could sort of get out there, 88 observations just from sitting down and reading Mike's work. Till next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.